Welcome to Soil Stories with Nick and Leanna. Episode 2, Darwin and Earthworms. Most people don't know that Charles Darwin spent more time in his life studying earthworms than he did studying and writing about evolution. In fact, his 1881 book, The Formation of Vegetable Mold Through the Action of Worms, with Observations on Their Habits, sold more copies before he died than his now much more famous book, On the Origin of Species. So I set out to find some folks who are still researching earthworms and try to better understand the motivations behind Darwin's research, why the topic was so interesting to him, and what we're still learning about earthworms today.
And earthworms are very important because they are, big eaters. They eat a lot.
This is Dr. Kyung-Soo Yu, my colleague and collaborator who's traveled around the world researching earthworms.
And they are also found almost everywhere on the Earth except extreme desert environment and also Arctic and Antarctic. So they cover pretty much every ecosystems as we know of. Yeah, so they are very widely spread. And they are pretty diverse as well. And we don't exactly know how many species of earthworms are out there, but we guess there will be around 7,000 species. And we have recorded about somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 species of earthworms.
Wait, quick question. How do we know all of this?
Wherever you're sampling, you show up with basically a case of mustard powder.
That's Adrian Wackett. He's a researcher here at the University of Minnesota who's traveled around the world literally sampling soils to figure out what types of earthworms are there and how abundant they are.
Someone about 30 years ago figured out that this mustard is actually an irritant to the earthworms. And so it's non-toxic to plants and other soil organisms, although it does definitely, it's also an irritant for other soil fauna. So you essentially get most of the soil food web, at least soil macrofauna and mesofauna. So also like arthropods and, spiders and beetles and other things that are in the soil will all come up to the soil surface because they're trying to get away from this mustard solution. And so we're just pouring that mustard solution over the course of 10, 15 minutes. And then in a lot of instances, we actually go in after we pour the mustard solution and also sort through the soil down to about 30 centimeters. Your hands basically end up smelling like mustard and ethanol.
All right, back to Kyung-Soo.
So we divided them into functional groups. So each functional groups has a number of species. But they do pretty similar things in terms of their activities in the soils. And the first one I would say is epigeic species, and those are some that are small and very red, red color. They're strongly pigmented, and they tend to live in the leaf layer and the leaf litter layer, so they don't really go into the mineral soil, so they don't make a big impacts. And then we have endogeic species that. Those are the worms that literally eat their way through. So they move around the soils as they eat organic matter and the minerals together. And then finally, we have anexic species, which includes probably the best known earthworms in Minnesota, night crawlers. They make a vertical and deep burrow, and then they are big, and then they bring the leaf litter into their burrow. So, and then eat them there. So they unintentionally mix the soils.
So what I learned from Kyung-Soo is that earthworms are big eaters. They're everywhere, and they can have a huge impact on soil properties.
So until quite recently, we always thought, regardless of the situations, we always thought earthworms are beneficial. And then that concept is largely based on our experiences in gardening and agriculture. So let's think about, big farm, where we, till every year. And the tillage machines and the compact soils. So if you have earthworms, then they can, generate the pores So which loosen the soils and then helps the, you know, helps the movement of the air and water. And earthworms have been always a friend of gardeners, and earthworms, you know, help composting and also make the soil, you know, organic rich. So in those settings, you know, no one would argue against their beneficial role.
So earthworms, through their burrowing behavior and releasing nutrients, mineralizing organic matter, can have positive impacts in agricultural and garden settings.
But the problem is the environment where they did not exist until recently. And that's precisely the situation in Minnesota.
Kyung-soo goes on to explain that because most of Minnesota was covered in glaciers during the last ice age, all of the native earthworms were essentially wiped out, and that earthworms move at such a slow rate that native earthworms have not been able to repopulate areas that were covered by ice in the last ice age. And in particular, this is important for northern forests in Minnesota, plant communities that have developed in the absence of earthworms. And the soils in these northern forests tend to be unique and very different from the soils that we experience in agricultural settings. In undisturbed forests, most of our soils have a thick layer of organic materials over the top of the mineral soil surface, or an O-horizon. Sometimes people call it a duff layer, and it can be spongy when you're walking on it. Here's Adrian again.
Some plots in these forests actually had earthworms, and the thickness of that organic horizon correlated really strongly with the absence or presence of earthworms.
Wait. I thought you just got done saying there were no earthworms in Minnesota.
The ecosystems in Minnesota remained earthworm-free until quite recently. And then once agriculture arrived, when recreation fishing expanded and logging expanded, all of those development brought earthworms to this forest. So now we have new situation that forest that evolved without earthworms now being exposed to the earthworms that were mostly came from Europe.
Adrian then explains how, unlike in agricultural settings where earthworms are beneficial, in northern forests in previously glaciated regions, which developed as earthworm-free ecosystems, introduced worms can actually have a negative impact on soils and vegetation.
So if you didn't have earthworms, you would have this 10, 15 centimeter thick O-horizon. And if you had tons of earthworms, you'd end up with a 10 or 15 centimeter thick A-horizon. And this was really important because it wasn't just, you know, them noticing that the sort of spongy ground that they were used to walking on was disappearing, but they were also noticing changes in the vegetation. And what we've now come to realize is that a lot of the understory plants in these forests are adapted to a system where they pull all of their nutrients from that thick O horizon that has historically been there. So they've evolved really shallow horizontal roots that are really good at probing that organic layer, pulling nutrients out of there. And when the earthworms mix that O horizon with the underlying mineral soil, so we usually have an E horizon and then maybe an argillic horizon below that, or a weak spodic horizon. And so the earthworms sort of mix all of that together, but in doing so, they actually pull a lot of those nutrients deeper into the soil profile and make them inaccessible to those understory plants.
Here's Kyung-soo again.
In the northern forest, much of the nutrients are basically bound to this leaf litter in the organic matter form. So when earthworms come in, and then they basically accelerate the decomposition of this litter layer, and then during the decomposition, the nutrients elements that were bound to organic matter are suddenly released and leached out of the system. So you have a huge sudden loss of those nutrients that have accumulated in the forest over a long time, and that have a significant impact on the future, you know, nutrient budgets within the forest. So that's one thing. But then the litter layer itself has become a very important habitat for many other organisms. And for example, sugar maple and their seedlings are very well protected by those organic little layer. So without them, they will be exposed to the weather elements. They can be easily browsed by deers. So their survival as a seedling will become harder. And also those little layer is an important habitat for native salamanders and the songbirds. So once this little layer is gone, then those animals that used to have little layer as their homes basically lose their habitats.
So are earthworms good or bad? Well, it all depends on your perspective. Earthworms are just earthworms doing earthworm stuff. Whether or not we perceive them as good or bad depends on whether you're a gardener or a farmer or a northern forest manager. Adrian explains.
So in agricultural systems, certainly like a no-till, cultivated system, the way that the earthworms would, bioturbate, deliver nutrients to depth, also aerate the soil and decrease bulk density. So in a cultivated system, earthworms often decrease bulk density, whereas actually in forests, they tend to do the opposite, at least in formerly glaciated forests, because they're removing that horizon, which is often really low bulk density. And then even in a lot of other forest systems across the tropics, for example, earthworms are integrated into those ecosystems and can be really positive and actually, are a well-integrated part of the trophic pyramid and the soil and both the below and above ground food networks.
So what I've learned from Adrian and Kyung Soo is that earthworms are hugely important globally. They're big eaters, bioturbators, and have a major impact on how nutrients are cycled in soils, and therefore the plant growth that occurs on those soils. One earthworm expert said, "All soils are just earthworm gut contents that are not currently in earthworms." Darwin was onto something when he spent decades of his life studying earthworm activity. So next time somebody brings up Darwin's work on evolution or the origin of species, remind them that his best-selling book before he died was about observations of earthworm habits and their effects on soil. Until next time, you guys, be well, be safe, and be smart.